Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning. Thursday, June the 22nd, 2023, 6:22:23, 15 minutes past the hour, 63 degrees and cloudy skies, our first full show in the season of summer. Now, I ranted and raved for the first hour there about this whole Titanic situation with the Titanic submarine. Only hours of oxygen left for these people. They're bringing in special submarines, medical submarines this morning. Why they've waited until the last day when there's only 10 or 15 hours of oxygen left, I do not understand. But Sarah called in there right before the break and gave her opinion on the thing. Does anybody have any opinions on the whole Titanic thing? It's becoming a big, big story because we're running out of time. Phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. What in the world is going on here? And as I said, I have not followed this all week. Apparently, it started on Sunday, and they had 96 hours of oxygen left. Well, now we're down to about 10 hours of oxygen, and they still haven't found them. But through sonar equipment, we've heard the banging this week. And, you know, I hear people talking about this in public. And people are very split on this. Some people want to talk about how poorly the machines were made. Some people want to talk about the idea that these people were thrill seekers. I don't know that any of that really means anything right now as we run out of oxygen. 740-751-4038. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Good.
I got a check today from Apple.
You did?
For $500, and I took it to the bank yesterday, and it was a good check, and I have my money back.
So everything ended happily.
Yes.
You know,
my clue is when you talk to whoever, because you always talk to somebody, when the first thing, when they start talking gift card, hang up. And when you, if you do that, and then you call Apple to take care of it, don't hang up with the guy you're talking to, because the next guy you're going to start over, and then the next guy. Because several said that, no, it's just gone. Well, I finally got a hold of somebody Tuesday, I think it was, or Monday night, and I talked to, because just the night before, a guy at Apple had told my son it's just gone. Well, I says, nah, doggone, I ain't got nothing else to do. I'm going to sing. So I called, got a hold of another guy, give him the whole thing. And I told him, I said, I won't hang up if you don't hang up. So he kept on with him, and then he wanted to know if I had a smartphone. No, I don't have a smartphone because I'm not smart. They wanted to know if I had email. Of course, I don't have email. And so he got, you know, on and on. I says, well, my neighbor lady, I'm sure, has a smartphone and she has email. You hang on and I'll walk across the street. And he did. I've had him, must have had him on the phone an hour and a half. And the last thing he said was, you'll get a check in the mail at your address, and it will be made out to you in 4 to 6 weeks. Okay, well, that sounded better than anything we'd had. And so I marked it on my calendar the day I talked to him. And I thought, well, now we'll just wait. And last Monday, so it was just 2 weeks last Monday, I got the mail, and there was an envelope from Apple Inc., and I thought, oh, crap, they're going to say I was denied or sorry about your luck. Opened that sucker up, and there was a check for $500.
Oh, no, it was because these were Apple gift cards that you used?
Yeah, they tell you to buy Apple everything. Gift cards, so that means it can be used for whatever. But anyway, but my tip is, when you hear that word gift card, that's a good thing to go ahead and hang up right then. But when you call them back, just keep being persistent, because you're going. I bet you we talked to 15 people at Apple.
Persistence pays off. I'll tell you, I was thinking about you the other day. Matter of fact, this week, because I had not seen one of these scams going on in quite a while. But earlier this week, there is a lady who shops at the grocery store, and she's an elderly lady. Now, I don't know if she lives with anybody. I've never seen her in the store with anybody else, but she clearly is. I'm, 70s, 80s, she's not a kid anymore, and I've never seen her. She comes in just about every day, and I've never seen her buy any gift cards. And she came through the other day, and she bought what is called a Green Dot card. And I thought, this is kind of strange, but I'm not going to get in her business. And she put $500 on this card, and I thought, boy, that is very, very odd. But I let it go. I even said to her at the time, I said, because we have to get approval to over a certain amount of money. And I said, the reason we have to get approval on these things is because a lot of scams are going on. And, I was hinting around as much as I could without trying to get into her business that, scams do happen and so on and so forth. And she just kind of shrugged it off and left. Well, later on in the day, I think this was Monday, it was Tuesday. Later on in the day, I was on break, I think. And I was coming back from break, and I saw her in again. And I went over to the person who was she was with, and I said, well, what was she in here again for? Buying another $400 Green Dot card.
Oh.
Then I said, uh-oh, something ain't right. So I went up to the people at the service desk, and I told them what I said. Do you recognize? She's in here every day. Do you recognize this woman? I said, I think I know who you're talking about. And I said, well, she bought $9 in two separate transactions on these Green Dot cards yesterday. I said, if she comes in today, we need to figure something out. Well, I was there yesterday, and there she came again. And where did she go? Right over to the gift card rack. Grabbed another Green Dot card, came up to the service desk. Now, this time she only wanted to put $100 on it, but they denied her. They said, ma'am, in the last 2 days, you've put $900 on these things, and we cannot do this again. And she got very angry. She said, these are for my granddaughter, and she left, and she was very angry. And, I just kept trying to get into her mind yesterday because she was angry. Now, If she really believes this is for her granddaughter, why would you do it in three separate transactions over two different days?
Well, see, I was supposed to buy two $500 ones, but Kroger's would only sell me one.
Right.
Okay, then the lady tells me, says she was on my cell phone in the car. I mean, the cell phone was in the car. And when I got back, I says, well, they'll only sell me one. Well, is there another place you could buy another one? How close is the next Kroger store? Now, that should have been another red light. If one Kroger store and go sell me another one, is another. Well, okay. So I drive over to the one on Walmart, and it was rejected. They wouldn't sell me one. So that saved me $500 right there on the bed. But my clue is, they locked up my computer. That's if it would have been over the phone, I just would ignore it. But because, and then it said, for assistance, please call supervisor at such and such a number. Well, now does that seem like it would be legitimate, whatever. And so that's what I did, and that's how I got a hold of Bella to start with. And then there was many, many others. But I tell you, I am, because when I opened up that envelope, because I figured it was a reject envelope, well, I opened that puppy up and that $500 check was there. Needless to say, I zipped right to the bank and it went through. But I think you have to be persistent.
I think you do, and I think that's what happens in a lot of these situations is people get very depressed that this happens, and then the first person tells them, well, there's nothing I can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then what do you do? And I just feel so bad for this lady because I can't imagine any other situation that's going on here. And you know, I think what happened, it's interesting you mentioned this because when she originally came in and got the $500, and then she came in later on in the day and got the $400, you know, we would not sell her two at the same time like that. So I think whoever was talking to her tried to wait for a shift change. So she wasn't buying them at the same time, and maybe nobody would be there by the time she came back who had been there, who had sold her the original card. And I think the scammers are also saying things like that because they're getting keen to the idea that the stores are not going to sell you two at a time.
Well, and just like with that, she came in and then she changed her amount, but I will thank Kroger's because they only would sell me one, and then by the time I got back, because then when I got in the car, back in the car at Kroger's at Walmart, and she was still on my phone, and that's when she, because I didn't know how you get a gift card and all, I really just come out from underneath a rock, but anyway. I said, well, I didn't get another envelope. Well, yeah, you had to get a card. And I says, I didn't. All I have is this one gift card. Well, then she proceeds to say, well, there's a tear strip on that card. And I seen it. So then when I said, oh, here it is. You know, and she probably thought, boy, do I ever have one on this. And she did have. And so I opened it up, and she says, now there's some numbers at the bottom, and the one that starts with, we'll say a P, give me that number. Well, I'm a lot wiser now than I was then, mind you, and I just want to make your people a lot wiser, too, because, you know, the only way you get rid of them is hang up.
You have to, and anything dealing with a gift card, I don't know any business or bank or anything that would want to deal in gift cards.
And also the girl at the bank says the bank never ever calls you on the phone in regard to that. So if ever anybody ever calls you, and I know when you're living by yourself and so forth, and then you just, well, okay. So if the, but just as what I say, the key is, because, you know, she said she was from Chase. Well, like the guy at Chase said, your chance of getting somebody on the phone that banks at Chase is pretty darn good.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's probably.
Then, yeah, and then like I said, when she said that, then I kind of, you know, put my trust in her. Well, okay. But, yeah, you have to be persistent and hang on to the guy you get a hold of and don't take no for an answer.
And they're good tips. And I'm glad you called in and shared your story. And I'm so glad you've got your money back because I think it will help other people. And, boy, it's the season for it right now because I just saw, and I have to assume that that's a scam with this woman. And I hope it's not, but, boy, you know, $1,000 already, at least $900 down the drain, and I don't know if she ever got the other $100. But before I let you off the line here, have you paid attention? Thank goodness it's not politics. Have you paid attention to this Titanic story?
Well, I want to tell you. Yep.
Yeah.
When these people, I don't care if they're snow skiing or whatever, and they're taking a chance and want to be a hero, and then they get themselves in a jam. You know, they have a big, somebody does whatever, just like this mess. Now, how many people is risking their lives and families' lives to try to come up with these, or, you know, rescue. Plus the money that's spent. I mean, it's... And when somebody gets lost in a snowstorm because they were skiing, or somebody's climbing Mount Everest and they get lost up there, and all these rescue people risk life and limb to go get them.
Well, that's...
And I think,
Yeah, well, and that's true, and there is an aspect to that. What I just don't understand is when this happened Sunday and they lost contact with them, and they knew that there was 96 hours of oxygen, because God forbid if they don't find them today, that's going to be horrible. I can't even imagine what that would be like down there.
Five people.
Oh, just horrible. But I don't know why, you know... At some point, somebody made the decision to bring in this medical submarine. Now, when you've got less than 24 hours, why would you wait until the very end to do this? And, you know, the money's going to be spent regardless now trying to find it. I just don't understand why, and yes, it's going to cost money, and yes, maybe we should rethink doing these things, but at this point, we're down to the home stretch. And
But then we've got how many guys is risking their lives to try to rescue them, and what's going to happen if something happens to their, and then five of those guys end up dying and leaving five families for the stupid idea that the five that started it.
Well, what do you think? You know, somebody was bringing this up yesterday on the news because yesterday is really when this story seemed to take over. There was bits and pieces all week about it, but yesterday it really dominated a lot of the news programs. And what I thought was strange was somebody was saying, what is it about the Titanic? Because all the survivors are gone now. The ship sank 112 years ago now, 1911. What is it about the Titanic? Because there is this thing about the Titanic that makes people want to see this wreckage. What is it about? Is it the movie? Is it all the documentaries? Is it the fact that it was an unsinkable ship? What is it about that thing?
I don't know, but then, Scott, it comes down to another. You see all these marches and all these people out in the street and carrying on, you think, my God, they all gave up vacation to do this?
I know, and did you hear, was it $250,000 a pop to go down on this thing?
Well, okay, and so they got scammed too, just different.
Yeah, well, a little different. Well, I'm glad money came back.
But I tell you, when you see that on TV and all those people out there marching, and I mean, the streets are packed full. And you think, no, they didn't all have vacation. And another thing, Scott, is these people in Columbus, not just Columbus, but as an example, why in the world would you go out there?
Well, that's a good question. You know, I would think that at some point protests are okay, but when they turn into riots is when we get the problem. And, you know, people's emotions are very high right now. That's one of the problems.
Well, the common sense must have been, because you think, and these kids that are out at 2 o'clock in the morning in these parks, where in the devil is their mom and dad? I fully agree of them shutting everything down at midnight. And if you're out there, you know, you're breaking the law, and then we'll just go ahead and wipe you out because you really must not have any brains anyway. But that's what I think about. It did seem to help. But it's like people lose their mind at midnight.
Well, you know what I think happens? I think a lot of kids, even who have good parents, and even who have parents who set rules and boundaries and everything, when a kid turns a certain age, and I think the age is somewhere around 14 or 15, I think a gong goes off in their head, and they see their parents as adversaries and no longer knowing anything, and even if you try to keep your finger on them, it's very difficult when they want to explore and do new things. And sometimes those new things are not always good things. and it's difficult.
Yeah, that's true. But you know something, if I was getting ready to go to bed and I had an empty bed, I'd be looking for that kid. And if he didn't, I'd hate to have the cops come and wake me up and tell me where my kid is.
Well, you know what? I honestly think, and I've talked a lot about this recently, I honestly think that we have become a society that is, what we are generally trying to do is we used to be a society that, I think about George Kosodas. You know, I saw George last night. We did an interview, and I really enjoyed it. And the thing about George is, you know, he's almost 91. He'll be 91 in August, so he is completely from a different generation. And one of the things I think about with George is, George at this point, and I don't think during a great portion of his life, he was not driven by money and financial security that sort of thing. I think what he was driven by was having a good time. He liked to be in the Follies. That didn't pay him anything. He liked to do charity work. He was always involved in the Democratic Club. Was telling me last night he used to cater it all the time for free. He liked doing that sort of thing. He was the maitre d' at Steve Dakota's after he retired for many, many years. And I think George liked to be happy. I think the driving factor in most people under the age of 50 now, it's a different generation, I think their goal is to be taken care of, to be financially, because financials will, it worries them to death. And I think they want to be taken care of. And I think when that becomes your shift, you don't necessarily surround yourself with the best people.
Well, and that's definitely true. And then when you feel a little bit superior over that group you're with, even if you're not, but it is. And then, Scott, it comes down to it. When we have lost track with the other human, I mean, I'm talking not physical so much, but when you have lost track, I don't care if you've got 1,500 friends on Facebook. Like I always say, could you call one of those friends and they'd come if you were sick in bed?
You know what? And that is a point. And recently, and I don't even remember if I said it on the air, but one of the things I learned when I was having my little 4-month period last year where I could not leave the house, which really, I mean, people who listen to the radio show know I was not horribly ill, thank goodness, but I just could not go out in public because of a weakened immune system. And the interesting thing is that the people who I thought would be there were not. And the people who I would have never guessed would have been there were. And it all kind of hit ahead last year, because what happened, I was fully back at work and I was fully back, you know, that was a memory to me last year. And I was sitting there and I was talking about somebody who this person I was talking to thought would have been there during that time. And I was saying how, well, you know, they would run to the fast food place for me every so often, and they might run to the grocery store every so often. But really, beside that, I mean, we didn't visit a lot. They didn't stick around a lot. You know, I was alone every night of that. Now, that's my choice, but that person was just not around like that. And I'll never forget looking up at this person, and I know they meant it. This person, who I never thought would have been there in that way, said, I didn't know. If I had known that, I would have come over and cleaned your house. I would have done your laundry. I would have done anything you wanted, which this other person did not do. And I know this person meant it. And that, what you just said dawned on me, was that, you know, it's not about people being nice and rude and all that. It's really about, who is there when the chips are down? Mm-hmm. And some people are and some people aren't.
Well, I know my brother who passed away a couple years ago, he was one of those that if he'd go down the road and he'd say, well, gosh, I haven't seen that guy for a while. I'm going to stop in and see him. And Now, well, one time his wife was with him, and he says, well, let's, this lady had cancer, and he says, well, let's stop in and see her. And his wife says, well, they don't know we're coming. And my brother says, well, we'll go to the door and see how things are going, if she feels like some company. And if she doesn't feel like company, tell her we'll come back another day.
And that does mean something. And I on the parting note here of this, I think another thing that we have in society right now, and we've always had it to some degree, but I think for some reason it's very big. We have a naivete. People are naive. And again, I'm not talking, I think sometimes people hear this and think I'm talking about one person, and trust me, I'm not, because this happens to a lot of people, and I'm not even saying it hasn't happened in my direction at times. But when you first meet somebody, whether it's a friendship or a relationship or whatever it is, they are not going to show you their real self. We just don't do that as human beings. We tend to pay for the dinner a little more. We tend to go to places, you know, every outing is a special occasion, and everything is than it really is. And we don't show the times that we all have where we might be down, where we might be angry, where we might be. You don't see that in the beginning, because if people showed you that, you wouldn't think they were that great. And we're naive to that. And we need to stop being naive to that. Now, I'm not saying get all these people out of your life, but I'm saying realize for about the first 6 or 8 months, the person you're seeing is not what you're going to see for the rest of your life. I think that's why the divorce rate's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, and another thing, Scott, I got another. The spam risk crap that comes on your phone. Okay, I never even answer them. So then you go and you see you had a message. So you get check your message. Well, one of them was from my pharmacy, and there was another one from, I can't remember what. Oh, and then if the sheriff's department puts out a bulletin, you know, there's been a wreck and this road's closed and whatever, that comes through a spam risk too.
Yeah.
So how much, I just don't ever answer. And then I see that I've had a message from somebody that it might have been important, but I just never answer any of them. So why would the sheriff's department message come through on spam risk?
Right. I know. I get things in spam that really should not be. Actually, there was a lady who called last week, something to do with the radio, and it went into spam, and I'm not really sure why, but it did.
Hey, I've talked all I want to talk. My clue is, when you hear the word gift card, hang up.
I agree with you. Well, thank you for sharing your story, and I'm so glad you got your money back.
Me too.
Hey, thank you.
Scott.
Bye-bye. All right. Phone lines are open. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. All right. 43 minutes past the hour here. Well, the scammer stories, and I'll tell you, they are out there. And thank goodness our friend there got her $500 back. But this poor lady I ran into this week, you know, I believe she's $900 to the bad right now, and possibly more if she went somewhere else and got more money on it. It's horrible. Don't do gift cards. Don't do gift cards if you don't know the person personally. And certainly don't do it over the telephone. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. 4038. Anything to say about scam situations or this Titanic situation? It's a mess. I'm talking about it a lot today because we're getting to the end of the road of this Titanic situation. We're getting to the end of the oxygen, which is going to come up sometime, I believe, today. And I don't know in the end how that's all going to go. But if you haven't any thoughts on this Titanic submarine or scam situations that have gone on, give me a buzz. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. I'd be interested to know your opinion on either of these subjects. Now, back to a lighter subject here. To keep it light here in the morning, I like doing serious subjects, but, you know, we try to do our mix here.
Oh, and by the way, I want to say this again, because I don't think I said it at the top of the program. For anyone interested in the Veterans Banner campaign, I believe it's on July the 1st from 11:30 to 12:30. You're supposed to go sit under the banner of the soldier that you have put up. Some people are no longer with us. Some people still are. But apparently all you're supposed to do, I talked to the organizer of this event the other day, all you're supposed to do is maybe take a lunch, sit under it for an hour, and that's about it. There's not going to be any more. It's recognizing the veterans, and certainly we should do that. But that's what the event is all about, coming from the organizer. So that's the way that goes. And, of course, we will be at the fair the first week in July, and we've got a lot planned for that. We'll tell you when the broadcasts are going to be. We've got people from Station Past coming to that, which is going to be a lot of fun. We've got people who have fair background coming in some days that week who will help us with the kids and animals and so on and so forth, and memories of the Marion County Fair. So a lot going on fair week, not next week, but the following week. So we're looking forward to that. And again, there may be havoc there. You never know, because you run into everybody. You run into everybody at the Marion County Fair. There could be havoc. All right, 740-751-4038. Okay. Oh, here's what I wanted to say that was on a light note. Yesterday, we had a lot of fun with our conspiracy theory, and I'm not going to run down the whole thing again because there's another point I want to make about this. But essentially, the other day, Abby was listening, and I said, I don't understand why she and Michelle get Botox. They're nice-looking girls. Abby said that I had called them good-looking girls. I said, no, it was nice-looking girls. We pulled the tape yesterday, and the truth is, I said nice-looking girls. Now, the point of this is that Abby was wrong, and we have irrefutable audio tape now that she was wrong. We have the tape. I said nice. I did not say good looking. And there is a difference, even though she contends that there is no difference. And she won't admit she's wrong. God bless her heart. But here's the point. In this whole spiel, the big conspiracy theory about nice versus good, she called me a name. Now, this is not a nickname that I would like. And it's not even a nickname I can say over the air. Now, she called me it yesterday, and she called me it today. And I elucidated to her during the break this morning that I don't like this nickname. Number one, it's bad. It's got a negative connotation. And number two, it's profane. So I don't like this nickname. So I said, I need a better nickname than that. You know, Abby's a writer. She's a smart girl. Now, see, we'll be having, I said she's a smart girl. She'll say that I said she was a brilliant girl, and we'll have to come back and have another conspiracy about this. But the whole point is that I did not like this name, this nickname that she gave me. And she said, okay, well, she'd give me another nickname. Now, this is the nickname she came up with. This writer, this smart, smart girl who can write very well and has given speeches in front of people and has done all kinds of good things, this is the nickname she came up with. Honest to God. Scottster. S-C-O-T-T-S-T-E-R. Scottster. Now, that's what she came up with. Now, I told her this to me sounds like a moped. The nickname Scottster? No, that's bad. Bad, bad, bad. So then we went from Scottster. I said, that ain't going to work. Come up with something better. You're a writer. You're good. And now here's what she comes up with, a four-letter word. Now, this is a four-letter word I can say on the air. And honest to goodness, when it comes to her, most four-letter words that she says or types are not able to be said on the air. Dork. She said dork. Oh, my. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning out there.
Yes.
A couple things. Scott Sturr, you have to be kidding. Nobody's name is better than mine, Interviewer to the Stars. I mean, it's like it's the best name.
And that's Scottster's a little dull, isn't it?
it sounds like some puppy you'd call, you know, one of your high school friends. I don't like the Lepster stuff or the ski. You know, that's not creative.
No, I didn't like it either.
I mean, it's is the best name anybody could come up with, because it's true. You are the interviewer to the stars.
The only one.
I mean, we don't put the T in front of it, or the. I mean, because it's a word you really shouldn't be saying, you know, regularly. So just it's. Don't use the article, which is kind of cool. It's kind of like Russian, because in Russia they don't have articles, and I'm part Russian, so I guess my family influence is there. So yeah, it's with two T's, interviewer to the stars. There's no better name. And you know, it's what else is there to say? Scottster? I think you're above that, Scott.
I think so. Well, then, you know, I told her I didn't like Scottster, because to me it sounded like a moped. And then she went from Scottster. Now, this smart girl, who is a good writer, she went from Scottster to dork. Dork.
Well, I mean, I don't really mind being called a dork, because I kind of am one. It just depends upon if you're someone who doesn't mind making fun of yourself. I don't. But it's. What else could there possibly be as a name for you?
Well, you know what? And dork is not good. Dork's.
I mean, it doesn't really bother me, but it's not really considered a positive term. I mean, I found the name. What else is there to say? There's no better name, and it's true.
Well, I agree.
Sorry,
that it's.
I don't visit Phil Donahue and Marlo Thomas at their fancy penthouse in New York City. I don't do that. The best I do, which I think is still pretty cool, is visiting a very beloved or retired newsman who's now doing ministry work that you also talked to at least a couple times.
He's
a local star, but he's not Phil Donahue.
You know,
but he's a really cool guy, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, did you hear the Sally Jesse Raphael interview?
Part of it.
Okay, well, did you hear the part of the interview? This made me laugh. When it's a point during the interview, I asked her about Phil Donahue, because he started her out in television, and she said, "People think I know Phil Donahue, but I've never been invited to his house. I've never."
There you go. You're the interviewer to the stars. She's like the famous bespectacled redhead. She's had struggles in her life, as we know. Wonderful talk show hostess, and I used to listen when I was working in broadcasting and as a music DJ in the 80s. I listened. I took advice from her. Very, very smart woman. She's still very sharp, and it's great that you had her on, because she's someone in my list of people that I not necessarily idolize, but certainly list as an influence and have great respect for.
Well, it's interesting
her look is unique. Some of these people have unique looks, and I always thought her glasses were kind of cool.
Well, it's interesting that Sally was never invited over to the Donahue's, I was.
Well, there you go, Scott.
There you go. There you go.
That's your name. That's you. And Scottster, give me a break.
Oh, Scottster. And I think, you know, that you're right. And I think Scottster's bet. And dork, you know, I can see where that's a term of endearment, because I call people negative terms when I don't mean them negatively. I just say it because I don't know if it's a nickname, but it's more of a comedy bit. But what bothers me about this is Abby, she's a smart girl, and
yeah,
I don't understand.
Yeah, she comes across as, very well-spoken.
Yes, yes.
Obviously, I'm one of your more intellectual type Homo sapiens out there.
Right. And I get, first of all, I get a profane word, which I can't even say it. So that's no good. And then I get Scottster, which that's horrible. And then dork. And then, you know, and we still don't. Oh, then she said, "I don't like being called Scotty." Well, no, that's not. You don't want to be called Scotty.
Doesn't your mother call you Scotty? I think I saw that on Facebook. I mean, I guess if it's family, it's different.
Not in person. No, no.
My sister had a nickname, actually, that she only allowed myself and my dad to call her, but my dad's deceased. I never call her by that nickname anymore, which, even though I kind of liked it, I just call her by her full name, Amanda, which is what she likes to go by.
I don't think my mother calls me.
Okay. Well,
it's a whole big problem.
It might not have been your mom. It was, I think, a female relative, and she just referred to us.
Oh, I know who you're talking. Yeah, great aunt. Great aunt.
It might have been. Yes. I mean,
yeah, I know. Yeah, she does.
But I don't think of Scotty as kind of a, like a, a brand of personal care products.
Yeah. Well, maybe she'll come up with something here in the next 5 minutes, because honest to goodness.
Or a Scottish Terrier as a Scotty. Yeah. I had another on a more serious and professional note. I'll decline comment on the Titanic. So let's talk, and I'm not sure if this came up, because on the news, of course, there was the caller ID spoofing. I got up late. I wasn't sure if it came up earlier. Women talked about the gift cards, and it's an important point, because the targets are a large part of our listening demographic, older people. But with the caller ID spoofing, Scott, you and I every day get calls looking like they're from Marion or other nearby areas. The person, obviously, does not sound like he or she is from this area. And it's either by your house or it's the dreaded car warranty. And goodness sakes, at my age, I get funeral plans, Medicare, other things related to health for older people. And even if it were legitimate, I never asked these people to call. Of course, it's not legitimate. But it's easy to spoof a caller ID. And once again, hats off to our outstanding law enforcement for vigilantly prosecuting this individual who has spoofed a caller ID and made these calls that have wasted resources and induced panic. And I hope that they prosecute, as I know they will, to the fullest extent of the law, the best that they can do. But folks, if you see a call, it looks like it's from Marion. It might be or it might not be. It might even look like a legitimate name. Often, and this is more common in a larger area, like with my number, you'll actually see the first six numbers being the same. You can say they make one up, and the caller ID database might actually attach that to a real person or business. So bottom line is, folks, use your instinct. If it smells like a rat, it probably is, and my number is given at least once, twice, thrice, four times, top of the hour if you have a question. I offer free quick advice to all of our listeners, and again, if they do want me to check to make sure nothing crazy happened, I provide rather sizable discounts. Or if you don't like me, call another computer tech or someone you know or is related to you who knows about this kind of stuff. But just because the caller ID says it's from someone nearby, use your instinct, doesn't mean that it is. And that's part of the price we pay for all this fancy-dancy technology.
Technology!
If that didn't come up before, I want to pound it into the ground. If it came up, whoever said it is absolutely right. And that's your nickname, Scott. Let's officially crown you with that name. And Scottster, don't know about that one, but anybody has a nickname for me besides Windpipe, which I don't mind. I think it's actually a compliment. Then I feel I'd love
Windpipe.
To
Wait, wasn't it Windpipe?
Yeah, that doesn't bother me.
I think that's fine.
I'm in the radio business. I'm supposed to talk.
Yeah, there you go. So I appreciate it, Adam. Thanks.
Okay. Well, have a nice day.
2 minutes left to go. Now she's really working up names here, okay? By the way, phone line. Okay. Oh, she's running them down now. 740-751-403 names. Nicknames. Okay, here's some of the... We might have to take a poll on what the nickname should be now, because now she's running them out. She's got Scotto. Sounds a little Irish. Scooter. I never liked Scooter. One person, I think they're dead now, used to call me Scooter. Now, they're not dead because they called me Scooter, but it was bad. Now, here are some interesting ones. Are you ready for this? Nickname, I feel like David Letterman, top 10. Nicknames for me as created by Abby. Scottato Chip. Scottato Chip. Yeah, there you go. Scotty Beans. Scotty Beans. Scotty Pimpin. Scotty Pimpin. I guess that's a play on Scotty Pippen, the basketball player. Scott Cross Buns. Well, if you've ever had a piano, there you go. Scott Cross Buns. Scottify, like the internet audio site, Spotify. And, here we go. Well, right here. Scottage Cheese. Scottage Cheese. Those are the nicknames created by Abby for me. Scottato Chip, Scotty Beans, Scotty Pimpin', Scotty Cross Buns, Scottify, Scottage Cheese. You know, I think she's lost her mind.
And we've all lost ours today. We've come to the end of our rope. For this day, Scott Spears, heading for the dugout. Scotty.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio. For legendary Emmy Award-winning actor, best known for his role of Lou Grant on The Mary Tyler Moore Show, Ed Asner.
You have always lived a very public life, certainly since Mary Tyler Moore. Is that tough when people constantly come up to you, say hello, want to take your pic, especially with cell phones? Everybody's got a...